From the Land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the fourth day of April, 2022. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. We'll discuss the weather forecast with Mark Russo from Everstream Analytics. And in between, we'll get an update of how Ed Usset at University of Minnesota Extension sees the landscape for commodity markets, all on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn today settled at $7.50. That was up 15.5 cents a bushel. July at $7.39.25, 17.5 higher. In December, $6.99, up 11. May soybeans, 19.5 higher. Settlement price there at $16.02. And July futures, $15.89, up 22.25. November, new crop up 33, $14.39.75 the settlement price. Bean meal up $5.10, the bean oil $1.14 higher. Wheat futures soft red harvest month July at $10.10, up 25.75, and the hard red July up 25.5 at $10.39.25. Live cattle futures at $134.92, down 92.5 cents today. Feeders per 100 pounds $162.47, $3.65 lower, and lean hogs $4.30 lower at $116.15. Some of the other outside markets, crude oil up $3.85 a barrel at $103.08. Diesel fuel at $3.54.2, 11.8 higher, and the wholesale price of gasoline up 4.1 cents at $3.19.5. Here to talk about these numbers and what happened in Chicago is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Thanks, Kurt, for being with us. Can you tell us about the action in Chicago today?
Well, hopefully maybe last Friday was April Fool's Day on the beans. Beans did trade lower on news of the acreage report particularly. And when you look at the numbers, if you plug in the acres, 91 million acres planted, if we have 51.5 bushels the acre, and if the demand doesn't pick up a whole lot in through here, we're going to have over 460 million bushel carryout. Of course, that's just projection. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts. You know, yields are going to move the bottom line a lot, and this demand, you know, who knows? We just need to see old crop bean demand to stay strong here and continue to move beans out. But beans were able to record a low and close higher today, so hopefully that's a benchmark here to see a little recovery here for a change. Fundamentally, we saw basically a little war premium being added back to the grain complex today. Weekend damage to the Black Sea ports and Russia's aggressiveness in Ukraine just kind of limited the selling interest. Kind of the world's still in kind of a shock mode here of what's taking place. And so the uncertainty there also, helped the market move a little higher. We did see that finally, announcement that China purchased over 1 million metric tons of U.S. corn. 676,000 tons was old crop in 2021, and 408,000 tons would be the 2022 crop. So that helped keep the market firm overnight and firm through the day as we went into the close, keeping most of those gains, Todd.
Well, later this afternoon, USDA will release the first crop production and progress, actually first crop progress report of the season for corn and soybeans. I hear in our part of the world, farmers really have not begun to move because there's just been too much rainfall. It's been wet. The weather forecasts are calling for that to continue. I would think it's mostly the Delta region that the trade might pay attention to at the moment. What are we hearing about any progress or delayed progress from there?
Yeah, up here in the upper Midwest, there was a field of beans, I know, just southwest of us that went in here about a week and a half ago, right before the weather turned. And a year ago, they put those beans in on March 31st, and those beans had some frost on them, but they actually made it through it okay and did all right after all. But yes, the upper Midwest here, we need warmer temperatures, of course, and it's going to be a soggy on-off week here. The next week's supposed to be a little drier, so hopefully here by the middle of April, once everybody gets their taxes filed, we'll be able to giddy up and go on some field work. There was quite a bit of gas put on southern half of Illinois. So for those who got a bargain there, that's good to get the gas on ahead of time. As far as the Delta goes, yes, it's one system after another. We'll see what the numbers are this afternoon as far as progress goes. There's quite a bit of corn up in southern Texas. I've not talked to our good friend Zwicker to get an update on what his observation is in that South Texas area, but I know there's quite a bit in the ground and quite a bit up through there.
What do we know about crops going in the ground in other parts of the Northern Hemisphere, particularly in Russia as it relates to corn? If anything, I know it's got to be very difficult, and only producers maybe who were able to stockpile fuel and seed beforehand might be able to move.
Yeah, that's going to be a target to watch here. It's going to be a situation where the far western part of Ukraine, probably a little bit better in position for the most part of getting the farm. The winter wheat's on in. When you look at the TV reports, you see wheat fields and they're greening up. You see mines there along the roadways and stuff. So hopefully get those mines out before the wheat gets very tall here. But the ability to have the fuel to harvest wheat, that's going to be an obstacle. As far as the corn and sun oil is huge. That's the key right there. If we don't get the sun oil in, and we'll probably see this world vegetable oil market continue to remain firm on that, because they're just a major producer there. All kinds of reports. There's still a lot of optimism. They're going to give it a whirl. There's estimates anywhere of 20% to 50%. The corn won't get in, but we'll see how things move along in through here. That's going to be updated, you know, from time to time. That's probably going to be kind of like our weekly crop progress report here in the U.S. It's going to be the world's going to be watching that to see what progress they make or don't make.
And finally, here in the United States, Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack giving a definitive answer as it relates to releasing conservation reserve acres, saying it's too late at this point to try to put anything in the ground. Probably most of those would have had some kind of winter wheat that would have had to been sown last fall on them anyway to make a difference for the wheat market. Will the market continue to try to buy acres? Just new acres in the United States?
Well, I think we're there. December corn futures traded as high as $7.50, and of course these November beans was as high as 15. You got record high price or high prices all around in through here. So the encouragement is to put some type of crop in the ground somewhere. I was off on the acreage report in past history from the standpoint where you have these high prices, you find more acres. And we didn't see that total acres appear. I think there's like 317 million acres. Weather's going to determine or be a factor here over the next 45 to 60 days.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Take care.
You too. That is Kurt Kimmel. He is with Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Up next, we'll hear from one of the contacts I made while I was traveling in Ukraine for 10 days about 15 years ago. He came online to say something about the war in Ukraine and to thank his American friends and to offer up a concert that lasted about 30 minutes from just a home filled with Ukrainian refugees.
Okay, dear friends, today we would like to make a small piano concert for our dear friends. Life of every Ukrainian family changed dramatically. Millions of Ukrainians are forced to move to European Union and other countries. Millions of people left their homes and became refugees. A lot of Americans are supporting us. They provide moral support. They provide food, not only for us, but for many Ukrainian families, and some finances. And this gives us opportunity to live and have a hope for better future. We all appreciate your help. Thank you so much, dear friends. Now Vladimir will play American and Ukrainian music for our refugees and for our American groups of support. Music is an achievement of a civilization, and civilized countries will never die, and music will live forever in our hearts. Okay, Vladimir, now it's your turn.
University of Minnesota Extension agricultural economist Ed Usset is here now to discuss the marketplace. Thanks, Ed, for being with us. I know that we've all been watching the war in Ukraine and the marketplace, particularly wheat and the commodity markets, react to how well or bad it appears to be going on a daily basis. Can you tell me about that from your perspective as the relationship between the two and what that might mean going forward, if anything?
Well, as I'm sure most of your listeners are aware of now, I mean, Ukraine and Russia are both important exporters of grains, but in particular, wheat. Wheat is number one for Ukraine and Russia. You know, they do corn, they do canola, they do sunflower, they do other things, but wheat is far and away number one. So this war has become, it's almost, the wheat market is almost a bellwether for how well the war is going. And Ukraine, good grief, who thought, Todd, 3 or 4 weeks ago that there's a lot of fight in the Ukrainians, and I don't know if there's, you know, just what I'm reading between the lines, I'm not sure there's a whole lot of fight among the Russian troops. You know, why am I doing this? My uncle lives in Kiev, you know, I mean, why am I doing this? So it's going well for the Ukrainians. It's terrible. There's a lot of death, a lot of destruction over there. But if it goes well for Ukraine, the market gets a better sense. They might get a few more acres in than we thought they would. And the wheat market, you know, as good as it is, and it is good. I mean, you've got May wheat and July wheat, $10 a bushel. 3-4 months ago, we couldn't dream of that. Here we are at $10 a bushel. 3 weeks ago, it was $2 to $3 higher. So the bellwether says the war is going well for Ukraine.
How does that play into the corn market? Usually, wheat either pulls or depresses the price of corn because both can be used as a feed grain. The wheat oftentimes is mostly made mostly for breads and crackers and those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a fact that 15 to 20% of the wheat grown in the world every year is fed to animals. It's not a common thing in my part of the world. I'm up here in the Northern Plains, or at least the start of the Northern Plains, and hard wheats are typically just more valuable. You're not going to feed hard red spring wheat and very little hard red winter unless there's some sort of a damage issue or something that makes it not usable for milling and food purposes. A lot of soft wheat gets fed or can be fed. I think the separation between wheat and corn, you know, they're $3 apart, cash price wise, and you're just not going to feed a lot of wheat at that level. So corn is trading its own economics. We saw the Planet Acres deal, the March 31 planning intentions report. Modest surprise, I guess. We've seen bigger surprises, but I didn't expect to see a couple million bushels less corn. I thought things would come in close to a year ago. A little bit of a surprise. You know, here I am, a Minnesota boy, Todd, and Minnesotans were among the biggest states going away from corn.
Was that because wheat and other crops were so much more valuable, or are there other reasons?
Yes, I think both soybeans and wheat stole some acres from corn. I guess I was a little surprised to see the soybeans so strong, but they've been gaining space up in the northwest part of the country of our state for years. I guess it's just continuing the trend.
I know analysts are having a tough time, and farmers for that matter, trying to get a handle on the marketplace. The last thing they probably want to do is to wait too long. How should they manage the high price and uncertainty of what most probably believe would be an inevitable drop that would be fairly dramatic?
Well, to take you in a whole new area, I'm going to suggest exercise, good food, and get your sleep. Try and manage the stress. that sounds odd. Like, you know, what about the markets? And it's like there's not much you can do about the markets. They are, you know, we haven't been in this. This is a war going on. We haven't been here in a long time. We don't know how it will shake out eventually. I like how it's going right now over the last couple of weeks. I like the news I've seen there. And hopefully it's shorter than longer. What I've been telling people over the last month is in your marketing, if you're lucky enough to have old crop left, good for you. If you've got a lot of new crop yet to price, think many small actions. Don't look at this thing and looking for that one big moment. Don't try and be a hero. Many small actions. Look for a good average price over the next 3-4 months. Accept the fact that you're going to make some sales that'll look dumb as much as 24 hours later, but you're looking for a good average. Many small actions.
I think that's good advice. We'll end it there. Thank you so much.
Okay, Todd, thank you for having me on. I want you to know I am talking to you from Barcelona, Spain.
Oh, I did not realize that.
Just for what it's worth.
Well, yeah. Good for you.
I came here about, 5, 6, you think I'm on vacation. I am not. I have family here. I have a son and a granddaughter, and I felt the need to visit. And I'm about to do class. My class in about 30 minutes from Barcelona, Spain. The wonders of technology.
Oh, you're teaching your class on campus in Minnesota from Barcelona.
Yes. It's a distant course anyway. It's a remote course. We do it by Zoom, but I'm going to be Zooming from my palatial suite a half a block off the Mediterranean Sea. And it's actually Castle de Fels, Spain, which is like a suburb on the west side of Barcelona.
Well, that's fantastic. You've had quite the last month. You did New Orleans,
yeah.
A big crowd down there for Commodity Classic, and then flew off to Barcelona. Congratulations.
and in May, I'm going to Finland to watch the international ice hockey tournament because my son-in-law is going to be in that, and I just got to see that thing while it's in his home country. And then I'll come home in May, and I'll go back to Finland in June when we celebrate my daughter's wedding to him.
Oh, wow.
And it sounds like I'm, Todd, it sounds like I'm some sort of, you know, world traveler, you know, stylish fop running around the world. And this is not Ed, but here I am going back and forth.
Well, that's a good thing. And thank you for being with us today. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Okay. You take care. Thank you.
You too. That's Ed Ossett. He's an agricultural economist at University of Minnesota Extension. On this Monday, let's check the weather forecast with Mark Russo. He's at Everstream Analytics. Hi, Mark. Thanks for being with us today.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Can we start in the Delta of the United States? We should be moving some tractors there, planting, although I think they've been pretty wet. How far behind are they at this time?
Yeah, certainly running a little bit behind in terms of the planting pace due to wetter conditions in the past week or two. And actually looking ahead here, that same theme looks to be in place, not only this week, but even into next week, as there are numerous chances of showers and storms across the region. In fact, you know, today into tomorrow, then there's another, yet another threat of severe weather breaking out across the area. And as a result of that, that's going to overall keep planting and fieldwork operations on the slower side.
Is this the same system that will bring rainfall to parts of the Midwest?
It certainly is, Todd. It will be producing a bit more widespread rains here in areas of the Corn Belt here. And in general, for the next week or two, much of the Corn Belt will be receiving normal to some areas above normal. No sign right now, at least over the next few weeks, of any extended dry stretches or high number of open days of field work.
So farmers will need to be patient, but there will be some drying time, I take it, between systems, as long as there's not too much rainfall in between them?
Exactly. It's not shaping up to be any kind of extremely wet pattern here these next few weeks, but in general, it's looking like a, overall, a kind of a normal start to planting, or just enough days to allow for a normal start.
Now, sometimes these systems begin further to the southwest. Sometimes they do not. They creep up through the Mississippi River Valley. I'm wondering about the wheat crop in the southwestern United States. It's been dry. They got some rainfall. Does the system put rain there too?
No, it does not look like that'll be the situation here, Todd. In fact, the pattern is pretty progressive, meaning that for the high plains, that there's little, if any, precipitation here coming up, and these systems then start to produce more significant rainfall further to the east. So overall, for the Plains Hard Red Belt, much of the next 2 weeks is on the dry side, and certainly they're going to need more rain here as or the crop begins to grow here and develop over these next few weeks.
What does the weather for the early season Safrina corn crop in Brazil look like?
Yeah, right now things are looking pretty good. Again, the story in recent months has been the extreme dryness in Brazil and in Argentina. Over the past several weeks, we have seen an increase in rains in the southern part of their Safrina Corn Belt, where rainfall is needed the most. And so that's helping to boost soil moisture. And for this early stage of the Safrina corn season, prospects right now are pretty good due to favorable soil moisture conditions in the northern winter corn belt and in the southern winter corn belt.
Thank you so much. We'll talk with you again next week.
You're welcome, Todd.
It's Mark Russo. He is with Everstream Analytics. Joined us here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.